especially with these things you hold in your hands. So you need to be real careful about that. And decisions are very, very important. Everything's spiritual. They talk about secular and spiritual. Everything has a spiritual continuity, a connection. Everything does. So making a decision is a spiritual thing. And here's the thought, if the soul of man is alive, his body and his soul, but if he's not saved, his spirit's not alive, it's dead. So he really can't make a spiritual decision. He might look out sometimes and make a decision that would be thought spiritual, but he don't have no spiritual connection to make a bona fide spiritual decision. And you know, sometimes it's just hard to make up your mind about things at the buffet. I remember Stephen Reeves will not agree with this. Is he here somewhere back here? I thought he was here. Did he leave? I think I offended him this morning. There he is. I see him. He looks like he sure has matured physically since the last time I've seen. I don't know about everything else. But me and Jerry and Stephen were over around Cummins or somewhere, or Covington or somewhere on 20. Interstate 20 on the side of Atlanta. And we went in, this has been many years ago, and he's forgot this, but I've not forgot it. But I remember it well. We went in to sit down to eat, and like I ordered, egg and bacon or whatever, and Jerry ordered his, and Stephen said, I want one of everything on the menu. And it's going to catch up with you one of these days, buddy. But making the decision, making this all kind of decisions, where you're going to go to school, what you're going to do for life, What does God want you to do? And that's what counts. Lining our decisions up with His decisions. Jesus said, I've come to do Thy will, O Father. I've come to do Thy will, O God. And I really can't comprehend how God said, I'm coming to do God's will. But that's exactly what it was, and that was in harmony. But we have something that Jesus didn't have, and that's a dirty, rotten, stinking flesh. It's depraved. It wants its way. It wants a comfort zone. And it seeks a comfort zone. I'm afraid a lot of us, everything we do, are making decisions about how we can be more comfortable. That's sad and it's sort of selfish in a way, isn't it? But that's the way it is. Now, you have your Bibles in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read you a verse in Ephesians. And here's what it says. Wherefore be ye not unwise. And nobody wants to be unwise. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'll tell you what, that's the greatest accomplishment you will ever have. It's understanding what the will of the Lord is. That don't mean it's going to be smooth. It wasn't smooth with Jesus. I come to do thy will. And in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. In other words, the volume of the book, everything in here was perfected in Jesus. And now it's wrote down. But Jesus came to do his will. I said a while back, I come across a testimony of a man that was somewhere in South America, and he came to the United States for education, and he had a grandmama that he really loved a lot, and he got his education. He was always planning to go back to see her, and things just didn't work out. Not that he didn't want to, but she died. And so on, and I don't think he got to go to her funeral. But the thing about it is, the grandma told her grandson a very important thing, the two most important days of your life. She said, the first one of those is the day you were born. And that's good. That's right. She said, the second one was to realize the reason you were born. And that's a spiritual reason for God to save you and you live your life for God and one day go to heaven. That is the reason you were born, and everything else is secondary. Everything else. Everything else. So God speaks. You ever say God spoke to me? Has anybody ever said that? I think I have. God spoke to me. We may take a few weeks talking about how God shows us His will and how He speaks to us. And I want to call it impulse. We'll talk a little bit later about that. But in the old time, like with, let's just say with Noah, God told Noah to go build the ark. God told Abraham to get out of his land. Abraham was the friend of God. What do you think about that? Nothing written down, no Bible, no nothing. God just spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses. He spoke to him and told him his will. When he was in the desert, he said, "God, I want you to go and lead my people out." He met with Moses. They sat down. I got some scripture I could show you later, but the elders and Moses sat down with God, I believe, and they had a meal. And, I may be stretching out. I mean, just give me a little bit of break, but God met with them. And God spoke directly to Moses. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that in these last times, in the old time, God spoke through the prophets and dreams and this and that, but hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And He speaks through the Word of God, and He speaks through the Holy Spirit to give us spiritual understanding and then just common sense for life, which is a spiritual thing. You ever heard in the news now that we need to get back to common sense? I mean, so many, you can just take a ride on that one. How many things is being done totally ridiculous to the success and the future of humanity because of people not using common sense. But making decisions is very important. Moses led the people out. God talked to Moses. He talked to him. And Aaron was his spokesman. And I won't get into that, but Moses made an excuse why he couldn't talk to people. Said speech impediments. Well, anyway, he could have talked to the people, but God worked with him. And God will work with you even sometimes with your excuses. But it would have been far much better off if Moses had just been able to stand up and talk to people. Took the second choice. But it comes time for the end of Moses, for his demise. And it's a sad commentary concerning the death of Moses. And in Deuteronomy, if you'll see that Moses is talking to the children of Israel and is encouraging them to go into the promised land. And I just want to read a little bit about this. This just really saddens my heart to think about the meekest man on earth. One day he lost his temper. And because he lost his temper and hit the rock twice, he couldn't go into the land. You see, Jesus, the rock, was just hit one time. He's not re-crucified. And in verse 23, Moses said it, "I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord, thou hast begun to shew thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee," watch this, "I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, here's God talking directly to Moses. And he said, let it suffice thee. And he said, you just might as well not ask me no more. Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. It's over with. Moses could see it, but he couldn't get there. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward, northward, southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He was 40 years in the king's palace, 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in the desert, 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And he saw what he could have had, but he didn't get to go because he lost his temper. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over this people, over before this people. That's, we're going to be talking, maybe if I can get to it, a peaceful leadership transition. And knowing the will of God and how to seek out the will of God as a new leader, as Moses did many, many times. But charge Joshua and encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before the people. That's right. He's in the head. He's leading the way, and he shall cause him to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Bethor. I had some of these. You know, Bethor means a gap. It's a gap there where they were looking at. You know, you're going through a gap. So Abraham and Biram hits it in the Biram. No, Biram hits. God had talked to him in a Biram. And a Biram means transition. You see the transition of leadership and the decisions that have to be made. He said, or he said it, you must die in this land in Deuteronomy. In Beth Peor, it was a going in and a coming out, and a Pisgah. Pisgah, and in Deuteronomy 3:27 there, I guess we done read it. Pisgah means to contemplate. Now Moses was in Pisgah, and it means to cut up in segments, to contemplate, to review your life. And just think about this time and this time and that time. And the future times that would never happen because he was about to die. God carried him, or they would have worshipped Moses to this day if they had known where they had carried him. Now, let's go just a little bit further. I mentioned a minute ago that God spoke directly to these people. He spoke directly to them concerning his will for them. But as time progressed, there was at least two more ways that God spoke his will. We're talking about how to make a decision in the will of God. There's two ways. One of them's cast at lots. Say, like rolling dice, but it's like picking the stone, like a stone or something. Not sure exactly how, because it's like our sense of the lot is cast into the lap. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Lot or no lot. I mean, you can cast the lots, and it's not favorable, and you'll say, well, let's do the best to that. Okay, like flipping a coin. But there was one for sure way that God began to lead his people through his leader. And it's found, if you'll turn your Bibles, into the book of Exodus in chapter number 28. We've been talking to you about the thing about the priestly connection. How that God showed himself and showed Jesus, the Lord Jesus. So, it's pretty fair. Let's see. On the breast, what? We've got his shoulders to gain strength by. But there's one other thing that I want to mention concerning that friend plate that I believe it was there. Some people believe it was the 12 stones. I believe clearly we can see it. I'll show you later. But there were two more stones that that some people, that I believe that God thinks, God's faith, and placed in that breastplate. And it's in verse 30 of Exodus chapter 28. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Now, that's not necessarily bearing the judgment of sin. That's bearing the judgment of making judgments. God said, these stones are going to show you and give you the ability to make the spiritual judgment you should make in making decisions to live your life. And they're right there with God in the most affectionate part of His being, represented in Jesus. There is a place that we can go to Jesus through the Spirit of God to receive the impulses from God to make decisions that are vital for our spirituality and those around us, for our protection, for our progression. My friends, we're very foolish to try to make decisions on our own. There's people that will make a decision somewhere today to marry somebody right out of the will of God and forever live with the consequences. There's people that will make changes in their life and moves in their life and leaving jobs in their life and leaving family in their life that are directly out of the will of God. We need to seek God in any of our movements. And these stones were very... The stones were... Both of those words, we don't use those words. But they're very, very important words. And I'm going to tell your friends the meaning of these words. The Urim means lights. There's a verse that I'll get to later on in the Proverbs. It says, the path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And both of these words are meant here. You see, the first Urim means lights. It means something where you can see what's going on. And you know, without the help of God, you can't see what's going on in your life. You can't understand. The Bible says that these lost people have their senses darkened. They have their path darkened. He's darkened their path. But you and I have light to go by if we'll rely upon it. And not only that, the Thummim means perfections. Lights pursuing the perfect life. Lights pursuing direction and knowing which way you should go. And I want you to understand that he said those are represented in that breastplate. And my friends, the nation of Israel was to go to the priest. And I'll show you in a minute. They were to go to the priest. Even Joshua, the leader of Israel, were totally dependent upon the direction of that priest, to go to that priest to make judgment with the Urim and Thummim, to see which direction they should go, a yes or a no. Should we go this way? No lights, no. Should we go this way? Yes. There's the light, and there's the direction. There's the perfect path. I just wonder how many are today are walking the crooked path, are walking in the wrong direction. But if they'll just get with God, they can get back on the path of light and direction and a perfect path concerning the will of God. And sometimes the truth hurts. It'll be hard to get back on that path sometimes, but I tell you, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Now, here's the thing. We've got the direction. Now we've got the new man. In Numbers chapter number 27. Numbers 27, 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the mountain of Abiram and see the land which I have given thee unto children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin in the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah from Kadesh. The wilderness was in. He got so aggravated, the people, from complaining and bellyaching all the time. They wanted some water. There was a rock that followed them through the wilderness. And Corinthians says that rock was Christ, and there was an unlimited supply of water there. And God said, just go smite the rock. And he said, here's what Moses said. He made it personal. I should never make my ministry personal. It should be between God and God, not what I'm thinking. But Moses said, shall I fetch you rebels water? And he hit them. God had told him to hit it once, but he hit it twice. And that's where he messed up. And now he's going to die. And he's got a new man coming in. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh. We're talking about transition of leadership and decisions made to get the right people in the right place. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of flesh, and let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Wouldn't it be good if that was happening today? That God was able to set the man. You know, so don't get your hopes up. I'm not planning on resigning today, but I'm going to show you something. Some churches, when they make a transition, usually the most carnal man in the church is the one on the head of the pulpit committee. That's usually the way it is. That's when the devil works, to bring a church to a lower spiritual standing. Should never be, but it said God set it. Do you understand that Paul set preachers in the churches? He set them in. You say, what about voting? Voting divides. And if it's not, you know, it just divides. I can tell you a lot of stories about that. Voting divides. You'll never see one time when they voted here. God set the man. God sent Moses. But Moses said, now I've come to lead y'all out of Egypt, and I want to get a move and a second and a vote. And they said, I just don't believe you're the right man, Moses. We're going to get a vote on three people. But let me move on. This is not the message. Here's the message. Set the man over the congregation, which may go out before them. Now watch this. Here is great example of what leadership is all about, especially in church leadership, and it could be good. It's good in government leadership, and it's good in home leadership. He said, set him before the congregation, which may go out before them. He went out, and which may go in before them. He went out, he came back in, and which may lead them out. Now they're going out, which may bring them in. So he goes out, he comes back in, they go out, they come back in. That's leadership. The congregation of Israel be not as sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. Let me tell you a little bit about Joshua. Let me just tell you just a couple of things about Joshua. Without turning there, I can do that later. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Moses went up on the mountain. And if you read your Bible, you'll see that when Moses went on the mountain for those tablets of stone, he had a minister with him, which means a servant. You know who it was? It was Joshua. Joshua, and he told the elders that went to the foot of that mountain with him, he said, y'all stay here till we get back. Joshua went on the mountain with Moses. And further than that, matter of fact, he had a battle. The first thing, the first incident with Joshua was Moses told him to go beat up on Amalek. Amalek, you know, they whooped them. They were enemies. And he did that. And Amalek was Esau's descendants that were cousins. And they were all about the flesh. And I'm going to tell you what, before anybody will get anywhere with God, man or woman, they're going to have to deal with the flesh. And Joshua got victory over the flesh. And then he went on the mountain with Joshua, servant of Joshua. And then when they built a tabernacle, Moses went in to the glory of God in the tabernacle, and Joshua was with him, because the Bible says that he went in, and when he came out and went back to the congregation, that Joshua stayed in. Joshua got something from God that everybody needs to get. He didn't try to push the old. He couldn't have pushed Moses out. The Bible says Moses died 120 years old. His stature, he was still in firm stature, and his eyesight was not abated. He sort of reminds me of Donald Trump. He'd knock your lights out. But he went in that tabernacle, and the glory of God was there, and Moses was there. Moses came out, and Joshua stayed in. And there comes a time when you got to be with yourself, with God, and that's where Joshua was. The glory of God. Boy, don't you wish that all new preachers have experienced what Joshua experienced in the glory of God and in the service of the servant of God? It ain't always that way. It's not. Look at it. Let's just read it. The Lord said in verse 18, the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Lay thy hand upon him. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. And he laid his hand on him and set him before Eleazar, the priest. Aaron had died. Now Aaron's oldest son became the great high priest. And he said, he's representing Jesus, the priest is. And set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. And give him a charge in their sight. Give him a charge. Paul did it to Timothy. I charge thee before God. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. We got a group of preachers coming on now. They don't have calluses on their hands. They was raised with a silver spoon. They want to be soft. They want to have full time benefits and employment with a church, with a house and a car, and they're too sorry to go to work. And I say that to anybody listening to me today, you need to get a job, friend. Come out of Bible school and showing their resume to take a slot somewhere with a full time. Let them get a job. And I'll tell you something now. You got to be careful with missionaries. And I know we don't have to be careful with this man. Some missionaries are on vacation. We're going to take missionaries on, but we're not sending nobody on vacation. You count on that. If we find that any are, they're done for. Let's move on. You say, amen, Brother Roger. Give him a charge. Brother Brown gave my charge. Good night. Brother Brown, bless his heart. He's sort of like my spiritual Moses. Now watch this. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation's children of Israel may be obedient. To who? To God through Joshua. God gets with Jesus, the high priest representative of Jesus. He comes out. He sees the Urim and Thummim. And if it lights up, he said, we're headed that way. And if it don't, he said, we're not going nowhere. That was the rule. Those stones just lit up. That's getting in the place of God to where you got some connection to where you know just exactly what to do. No light, sit still. Somebody says, well, make some kind of decision. No. You make the decision when the lights are on. Amen. Perfect light. And watch this, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. The congregation may be obedient. That some honor was given to him in his position and life with Moses. He already had. Moses put some of his honor. And I don't even know how you do that. Some of his honor. He got some of his honor from Moses. You know where he had to get the rest of it? Earn it. And on the job. He had to earn that honor on the job. It's like your bosses. Some of y'all are the boss. Because some bosses are like this. And I ain't going to listen to what he said. Yeah, he's not a man's man, you know. Especially if he's, nowadays, you can check it, but you've got people right out of college that are technologically advanced with all the new stuff, and they're telling 65-year-old men that's still working what to do and how to do it. Boss, man, I won't have it. I'm just glad I'm not on the workforce. I say, son, you go back to your mama and get your diaper changed. I just lose my job. That's all right. There's always a job at Walmart greeting people. I'll be a greeter and a missionary at the same time until they fire me. Some of the honor, he shall stand before Eliezer the priest. Look, listen. This is the first time that Urim and Thummim is mentioned after Moses gave the directions and God said, look, here's the lights, here's the will of God. Come to the stones to find the will of God. And he shall stand before Eliezer the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in. Both he and all the children of Israel, with him, even all the congregation. So, Joshua was to go to the priest. They were cousins too. You know, could easily get in they're in the flesh. They could easily get in some kind of conflict with one. All you got to do is stand in there and wear that suit, and I'm out here facing these people. No. No, I don't see it ever like that. They were in the flesh too. So Joshua goes in. God's man goes in the presence of Jesus. God's man comes out and says, this is the duration. This is the way we should go. You see, I'm going to tell you what. It could be good in government, good in the house of God, good in government, good in the home. And there's some husbands that are so afraid that they're going to offend their children if they make some decisions. Or their wife's going to get disgruntled with them. Stop cooking biscuits. Well, just go out to eat. Go buy your biscuits. You don't have to eat her biscuits. She don't want to cook you no biscuit. Amen? I'm talking about knowing the will of God. For the house of God, for the government, for the home. Knowing the will of God. God speaks through the head of the home. God speaks through the head of the home. And he shall stand before Eliezer the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. Before the Lord, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eliezer the priest for all the congregation. He laid his hands upon him, gave him a charge, as the Lord had commanded, by the hand of Moses. So Moses dies, and Joshua takes him across the river. You know that. Jericho walls fall. And then they run into a situation where the second time that Joshua, that I can see, had the opportunity. Be honest with you. Let me not get ahead. He was supposed to use the Urim and Thummim, and I see no place that he did all the way through the book of Joshua. He never did. It's never mentioned. God spoke to him. If you don't mind, turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Let me see which chapter we're in. I'm going to show you what kind of trouble you can get in without seeking the will of God. I love Joshua. Great man. Great, great man. I know it's still in the Bible somewhere around here. Joshua 9. Now, There's some people called the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites were also descendants of Esau, who lived for the flesh. All about eating, all about hunting, nothing about God. And the Bible says in 1 John that God hates Esau, and what he means by that, that kind of lifestyle. Nothing at all concerned about spiritual things. And the Gibeonites had heard that Israel was in the land and what had happened to Jericho, and they were taken over. And you'll read further, you'll see they even heard back 40 years before that. Those people in Canaan heard how God had pushed the sea back and let them walk across on dry land. They had heard about what God was doing with His people. Wouldn't it be good that if the community here, around there, would hear what God is doing with His people at Welcome Baptist Church? They're not going to walk here and look. You're going to have to go tell them. The Gibeonites heard about this and they got afraid. They said, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance against them. So they tricked them. The elders of the city and the country up there got them a council and they said, look, here's what we want you to do. Let me catch up where I'm supposed to be. They came in. These council came in. And they walked up to... They walked up. And they had got them some old sacks upon their donkeys. And old bottles. And old rent and bound. And old shoes. Verse 4. And clouted upon their feet. And old garments with them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua into the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country now, therefore take a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto him, who are ye, and from whence ye come? And they said to him, from a far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which was Ashtaroth and Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants now, therefore now make ye a league with us. You see what's slipping in? Foreign adversaries. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and moldy, and these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these be our garments, and our shoes have become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them. He didn't seek God. None of his men said, don't you think we need to pray about this? He didn't use Urim and Thummim one time that I see. He's a great leader. And here's what happened. There were several other enemies. You'll read the rest of the chapter. And you'll see that they made a great league together to come and destroy the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites. You know where the Gibeonites live? Just across the hill. They said they come from a far journey. They just lived on the other side of the hill. And they found it out. Now here, it's bad enough. Israel just got through a battle here. It's bad enough to have your battle. But it's another thing to inherit somebody else's battle. And that's exactly what happened. Because they did not consult. Joshua didn't consult with Urim and Thummim. Next thing you know, they're coming after the Gibeonites. I'm going to sum this up. And the Gibeonites that were, they made them, they give them job duties. You can see that. And they took them in. And they said, we're in trouble. They're coming after our homeland. We need your help. And Joshua's men said, we've done made a league with them. There's a league and we can't do nothing to break it. It might be a time to break. I don't know why. I'm going to tell you. I mean, so you know what happened? Joshua and Israel inherited their battle. And God told them to go up and whoop them. And they did. And they won. They beat the enemies off. But, you know, you got your own battle, friends. And I'll help y'all I can. But don't come up to me with no wore out shoes. Especially no old wine bottles. Do you see what's happening there? They could have avoided. It's bad enough to have your own battles, let alone to create another one because you've not consulted and sought counsel from God. And God will help you make your decisions. Let's stand. I just pray that you'll seek God for wisdom this morning in whatever decisions that you have to make. That you'll seek God and seek Urim and Thummim. You'll seek light and perfection about the path that you should walk. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your Word and your Spirit. And we thank you that you're available to help us walk through this life in your perfect will. And there may be somebody right here this morning, no doubt, that needs to seek the will of God, get back in the lighted path. There may be somebody unsaved, and I pray they'll trust you as their Lord and Savior. And if you're in that condition here, my friend,